You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break Edition podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. 48 hours away from the NBA trade deadline. So we're going to be looking at guys on teams who could be players to stash for these next 48 hours as we await to see what moves go down, things wheeling and dealing all over the place. We've had the Lakers allegedly pulling out of the Anthony Davis trade sweepstakes. We've had potential Raptors and Grizzlies trades be discussed. And just remember, the majority of stuff that you hear is never likely to happen. And that's true of all times when we're talking trades, especially at this time of the season. You're trying to predict what's going to happen at a trade deadline is pretty tough, because you could say, it's definite that this guy is getting traded, but then you don't know who is coming back in that deal. So does his backup then get more minutes, or does the guy that came across in that trade get more minutes? Does the guy that came across in that trade supplant a guy who was already in a significant role for that team? So the best way to be able to figure this stuff out, of course, as it happens, and just coincidentally, I'm going to be co-hosting a live show for the Locked On Podcast Network's Trade Deadline Spectacular. Myself and David Locke will be hosting that live. It should be going out on the Locked On Facebook page, on David's Periscope, and hopefully on my YouTube channel as well. That'll start at, let me get my time right, 1:30 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, going through until the trade deadline. We'll be having all the news as it happens with our NBA takes and fantasy-related information as well. I'll probably do a short recap podcast, fantasy only, after that also, but that's what's happening as the deadline hits. So let's have a look at some players now who could potentially be options to be stashed. And it's only 48 hours to go. You just have to weather that storm and see if it works. And there's a bunch of names here, and I'm going to go through them and discuss here what I think about those guys. Let's start at the top there. Alex Len in Atlanta, of course, with Dwayne Dedmon, the Undertaker, who I already mentioned is a possibility of being traded. There's a couple of ways the Hawks can go. They can go with Len, who started a few of those games that Dedmon has sat this season, and in general, he's put up pretty good numbers. They could also go with the Wizard, Amari Spellman, who is more of the future for this team, and both of those guys are absolutely worthy stashes at this point. Dedmon, a guy who almost assuredly, if he gets traded, will lose a lot of value. I like Dedmon. I think he's been underrated in the league for about four or five seasons, back to when he was on Orlando, definitely when he was in San Antonio, and he's really showing himself here in Atlanta. But with the ability for centers to find significant roles in trades or free agency pretty limited, it's unlikely that Dedmon moves into a better spot. But that does open up stuff for Spellman and Len. And I'll say it once, but I won't say it again. This all depends. Do they trade him for another center who comes back and takes minutes away from these guys? That's always going to be the concern in this case. But Alex Len and Amari Spellman are both absolutely viable stash guys. I'd probably look at Spellman as maybe a bit more of a deeper league stash. While Len could have some 12-team value. Their teammate, Kent Bazemore, I think he's worth looking at. If he remains in Atlanta, he will not be a 12-team league guy. If he moves to another team that wants to play him 25 minutes a night, he could be a fringe guy. Now, he's not going to be an excellent option there, but he can be a nice source of steals and out-of-position blocks, hit some threes. And that situation that's been rumored for months and months and months is the Houston Rockets. Could he move in and take James Ennis's minutes? Could he move in and take Austin Rivers's minutes? He's a better player than both of those guys, so there is a significant chance of that. Eric Gordon and Chris Paul always seem to be hurt in some respect as well. So Bazemore could find himself with some extra minutes. But again, if he remains in Atlanta, he will not be a 12-team league guy. And if he goes to a lot of other teams, he probably won't be as well. It's going to be very situation specific, but stashing him for the next 48 hours, I think, makes a bit of sense. Malik Monk in Charlotte, not because I think he's necessarily going to get traded, although he could. His minutes and production is significantly on the rise. Jeremy Lamb is doing the opposite. It is decreasing significantly. So I think we could see something happening with maybe a Jeremy Lamb trade. He could move to another team and actually be a really useful sixth man type player in the Terrence Ross mold for what he's doing in Orlando. And that would open up a lot of minutes for Malik Monk, who was out of favor at the start of the season with coach James Borrego, but is back in favor now and is playing really, really well. This is probably a little bit further down the totem pole of guys that I'd want to be stashing, but even with what Monk is currently doing in his role at the moment, that's worth speculating on in 12-team leagues. Larry Nance Jr. is an interesting one. We have all concerns about what Larry Drew is going to do. Now, Nance should probably be rostered in all leagues regardless, but of course, the return of Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love is going to complicate that. Will they take Ante Zizic out of the rotation entirely? I think they probably will. Will they limit Tristan Thompson's minutes? I think they probably will. Kevin Love, I don't think they will limit his minutes. I think he'll play 30, and I'd love to see Love and Nance actually playing together more, but that's all going to come down to what Drew does. So, holding Nance now, at least until this deadline, to see if Thompson gets moved, or for some weird reason, if Love gets, not weird reason, some miracle, if Kevin Love gets moved, and Nance is worth holding. But again, in 2 or 3 weeks, if nothing happens there, and then those guys do return from injury and he's not seeing the required playing time, then he becomes a drop player. Alonzo Trier is an interesting one in New York. Of course, Wes Matthews came in and played 29 minutes in his first game as a member of the Knicks, and Trier, for all of Fizdale's, what do I want to call it, verbal masturbation about playing the young kids, Trier's minutes went down despite trading away Tim Hardaway Jr. But I think Matthews, significantly more than DeAndre Jordan, is a buyout guy, a buyout candidate, and someone that they would look to minimize to get Trier more minutes. And Trier's been as up and down as almost anybody in the league, especially given the team that he plays for. But for now, he is worth stashing, as is his teammate Mitchell Robinson. Now, I don't think that Jordan is going to be bought out, but there could be trades going on here. Maybe they can flip Jordan to another squad. Again, I don't think that'll be the case. Enes Kanter is out of the rotation. He could move on. But Robinson is worth stashing for now, just to see what happens over these next, not only 48 hours, but next 2 weeks or so. Kelly Olynyk in Miami is a guy who's putting up some really strong numbers at the moment. It's not that there's necessarily going to be big moves in Miami, because their team is a little bit weird in terms of the way the contracts are structured. But if we do see anything like a Hassan Whiteside trade, if James Johnson is on the move and they want to commit to Olynyk full-time as a 30-minute-a-night guy, he is worth stashing just to see what goes down. But I think the probability of that one coming true seemed pretty low. The Duck, Luke Kennard in Detroit. Detroit seemingly really active at the moment with trades, engaging on Mike Conley deals for Reggie Jackson. And in part of that deal, that might see Kennard move back to someone like Memphis. I think Kennard's best chance at value would be moving someone in a trade, somewhere in a trade. He could come into Memphis. They could start to retool around him ahead of Garrett Temple, ahead of Justin Holiday. And that would really work in his favor. A 30-minute-a-night role for Luke Kennard would mean him as a 12-team league, at least fringe guy. But I think he could blossom into a top 100, top 90 guy as soon as this season. So I think he is a relatively strong option to stash. Troy Brown, a bit of a darker sort of candidate, dark horse sort of candidate there in Washington, who has barely played under Scott Brooks. We heard the John Wall injury news today, which of course was not great for Washington. Not that it's going to matter for this season, but they could be inclined to really assess their future if Wall is going to miss majority of next season as well. Maybe moving on from Trevor Ariza in another deal. Maybe they look to move on from Otto Porter. What do they do with Thomas Satoransky and Bradley Beal in that backcourt? How do they look to maneuver those guys? And Brown is a player who has struggled really for most of this season, but has got a weird sort of fantasy skill set and ability to get assists from the wing position, can get some steals. That's a real long shot, again, given how Scott Brooks runs his rotation. But I think that news of John Wall and the absence for him for next season as well might change some of the opinions in that front office. Of course, it is one of the worst-run front offices in the NBA. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the Clippers is worth stashing. Now, he's getting some significant minutes at the moment, and he is significantly outplaying Avery Bradley, as he has for 90% of this season. Doc Rivers, it's taken until now for him to realize that, and Bradley's minutes have been reduced the last couple of games. But with the Clippers seemingly, you know, on Anthony Davis's potential wish list of teams to go to, if Shai is a part of that deal and he finds himself in New Orleans and gets a consistent 30 minutes a night, there could be some value there. He could also be a value proposition if he remains in LA, if Avery Bradley or Patrick Beverley get dealt, which I think is possibilities for both of those guys. You know, moving to a contender and playing 22 minutes a night for either of those guys could really work. Not that the Clippers aren't a playoff team, but there could be some assets acquired by LA there, opening up minutes for Gilgeous-Alexander. Josh the Hitman Hart. This is really depending on what happens in that Davis situation with the Lakers now. If he was to remain in LA with everyone else traded, his value would spike. If he went to New Orleans as part of that deal, then his value would spike. If everything remains the same in LA, he doesn't have much value. But stashing him, I think, is absolutely worthwhile with 48 hours to go until a potential trade can be made. On the other side of things, a couple of Pelicans guys, Jahlil Okafor and Kenrick Williams, both starting at the moment. Now, I fully believe that Anthony Davis will play this season, whether he is traded or not. I do believe that's the case, and the report came out today that Davis actually wanted to play last game, and the Pelicans held him out, and they're listing him as questionable for their next game before the trade deadline. So that's going to put a real dent in what Okafor can do. But there's also the possibility that Julius Randle and Nikola Mirotic get traded also, and that could open up things for Okafor. He could also really fall flat on his face and provide 10 minutes worth of action a night and be completely useless. But with three different potential frontcourt pieces on the move, and Okafor playing as well as he is, you might as well just hold on. Even if Davis comes back next game, even if Randle comes back next game, I would hold Jahlil through that trade deadline just to see what goes on. As for Kenrick Williams, he's already proven to be better than Wesley Johnson. He's probably better than Darius Miller. He's definitely better than Solomon Hill. Is he better than Etuan Moore? That's a possibility, and Moore is struggling himself. He could be looked to be dealt. He's dealing with injury problems. For now, you know, Williams is providing value, and we'll see what happens as that deadline goes on. In Memphis, Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, the two names rumored to be dealt a lot this season, but Jermichael Green also another name in the mix. Green also is not good, and he's dealing with a knee injury, and Rubb, as a young player, has really started to show some signs this season, and if one of Green or Gasol moves, again, it depends on who comes back, but Rubb could find himself in a 20-25 minute role, and that would be enough to at least elicit some sort of interest from me as a fantasy option, more for 14 or 16 team leagues, but definitely someone who could find themselves in an every night rotation spot, because we know that Joakim Noah is in no part of the future, and Rab should have those minutes already. But he is trending in a positive direction, and I like where things are heading for Ivan Rab at this point. Josh Jackson in Phoenix is putting up good numbers, with Tony Warren Jr. currently sidelined, looking a lot better than what he did to begin this season and, of course, all of last season. Trades could be made in Phoenix. We know they're potentially looking at acquiring Lonzo Ball from the Lakers as part of a three-way with the Pelicans and the Lakers, although that appears that like it might be dead at this point. Now, Warren could be an asset for contending teams, for playoff teams, so he could be on the move there as well. If they don't want to pay Kelly Oubre, he's restricted free agency coming up, then he could be on the move, and that opens up minutes for Jackson. I think if the Suns are serious, which most times they're not, they should be looking to see what the number four overall pick from last year can actually provide to this team, and not be so hesitant in getting him out there, especially showing the improvements that he has made over the last at least 4 weeks or so. So I think Josh Jackson is worth holding for now and stashing to see what happens as this deadline approaches. A couple of other names back to Memphis, Javon Carter. If Conley goes, there is Shelvin Mack there, but surely if they are trading Mike Conley, they are not treading water with, how old's Mack, a 30-year-old veteran who isn't good? You want to see what your young point guard can bring, and Carter's a guy who came in translating quite well out of college with that really high steal rate. He's got to be able to hit his shots at a better rate, he can get some assists, but I think he's got some real upside as a steals type of guy, maybe a Marcus Smart type fantasy profile player, and that's useful if he finds himself in a larger role. Harry Giles in Sacramento, he's already supplanted Costa Kufos as the backup center, and Willie Cauley-Stein, I don't think that Cauley-Stein's going to be on the Sacramento Kings next season, and I think if the Kings could look to move on from him, they would absolutely consider it. Now, if they weren't in the thick of a playoff race at the moment, I think it would be much more likely that we see Giles supplant Cauley-Stein, but because they are pushing for the playoffs, I think that's probably a little bit short-sighted to think that's definitely going to be the case, but they want that sticky bandit front court, Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles. They want that to be their front court of the future. How quickly they commit to it remains to be seen, but Giles has shown some flashes. He's inconsistent, but he's shown flashes, but in a 16-14 team league, definitely, I would consider stashing Giles just to see what goes on. Jonas Valanciunas is an interesting one. He should be back from his hand injury in the next game or two. But we've also heard his name rumored in deals. Now, he's playing 19 minutes a game in Toronto. And normally, if you move to another team as a big man, you move into a smaller role. But I think Valanciunas, if he moves to another team, would almost definitely move into a larger role. So while he might be a fringe guy for your team at the moment, he recovers from his hand injury. If a trade goes down, his value will rise. D'Lon Wright, another guy, restricted free agent for the Raptors. If they're looking to make a splash and really push the Warriors this season, he could be that expendable player. If he finds himself in a starting role, Orlando, Chicago, Phoenix, he will be a top 100 guy. So I think he is a very high priority type of stash, even though the likelihood of him being traded might be low. Dante Exum in Utah, rumored to be part of a Mike Conley deal. along with Ricky Rubio. I don't think he'd move to Memphis and automatically be that starting point guard. And that also goes back to what I talked about with Javon Carter. Yeah, Conley could move, but two point guards could come back in the same deal, and that would limit their impact. But Exum can play at shooting guard, and where we've got Garrett Temple at the moment, there's not much for him to overcome there. He's shown flashes this season. This is still probably more for deeper leagues, but an opportunity could be arising for Dante. DeAndre Bembry and Omari Spellman. I've talked about Spellman already. Bembry is an interesting guy there. If Taurean Prince does end up getting moved by the Hawks, Bembry could push back into that starting role and be a nice points or punt points option in fantasy with his ability to get assists, steals, and blocks. Enes Kanter, who's not going to play for the Knicks again, maybe he gets dealt. Maybe he gets bought out. I always have stated with Kanter, I do find it hard to see what team is A, going to be able to take on his $18.5 million contract, and B, which team is going to give him the 25 minutes that you so desire. But it could happen. It could happen to a team. Maybe it is the Kings who trade Willie Cauley-Stein and Zach Randolph and get Kanter back and slot him in and play him 26 minutes as a starting center, because then that value is through the roof. We've got 48 hours to wait. There's no reason not to just grab Kanter, because we know that the top 50 upside doesn't really exist for a lot of these players. Cheick Diallo, another interesting one in New Orleans. I like Diallo. Shot blocking, rebounding, can shoot threes, scoring type of a player with all those big men potentially on the move. He's got upside. He's the best young talent on that team in that front court. I think better upside long term than Okafor in terms of what he could potentially blossom into. And he's worth stashing as well. Markel Fultz in Philadelphia. I just don't know what the hell's going on with Fultz. I don't think he ever plays for Philadelphia again. Now, whether that means he's traded this season or in the offseason remains to be seen. But there are point guard needy teams who I think would be very, very smart to have a crack at Fultz and see what goes on there. So again, 48 hours, no reason not to just take a flyer on him as a shot blocking, steal generating, rebounding, assisting, scoring point guard. Those things don't necessarily grow on trees. The percentages are a worry, clearly, but there could be something there with Fultz. And the last guy I already mentioned, Omari Spellman of the Hawks, a great opportunity if the Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, does leave. He is wildly inconsistent. He is wildly bad on the court, but he can put up a block and steal numbers. He can hit threes, he can rebound, and occasionally he can dish out assists as well. So there are a few names here that you can consider. Of course, you're not stashing all of them because that would mean you need a 50-man roster. But have a look at what you think maybe is the best likelihood of happening. Use Basketball Monsters Value 30 as a way of ranking. Hey, if this guy did move into a 30-minute a night role, where was he, is he valued? Is he the 120th best player? Would he be the 40th best player? And that gives you an idea of prioritizing who would be the better stash when the trade deadline does come up. Again, make sure you are following me on Twitter. Follow David Locke on Twitter at Locked On Sports, and you can get all the details about our Locked On trade deadline special that I will be hosting alongside David on Thursday afternoon for all the news as it breaks. Subscribe to this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Give it a thumbs up, subscribe, you know the drill, and hit that bell so you get the notification when we do go live. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.